tell Lisa whatever's on your mind. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Inside, we all need the same thing.
And if it is true that only kindness matters, I thought on our Feel Good Friday we would share some stories about how strangers, in a moment where we needed help and didn't know where it was going to come from, reached out and helped us. So this is a time for us to share stories. 203-333-9422. You can call me at 203-333-9422. We're giving it a launch today. Let's see if it takes root, and let's see if you like it here on the Lisa Wexler Show. We're going to begin with the person who told me I had to do this on the show, my very own Aunt Cookie, the one and only Aunt Cookie. Hello, Aunt Cookie, and welcome to the show. Mwah, mwah.
Good morning, Lisa, and you know how much I love and listen to your show, and it's my honor that you asked me to come on.
All right, so Aunt Cookie, what happened to you? Tell us what happened.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was coming home from your and our favorite Dr. Ho in Stanford, and I was going on the Throckneck Bridge. As you know, I live in Long Island. And it was very, very crowded with trucks and cars. And instead of just having two lanes going north and two lanes going south, as usual, they were doing a lot of construction on the bridge. And they had these blocks, these cement blocks in the middle. And they took one of the lanes that was going north and made it going south. So we had two lanes and then the blocks and then the third lane going south. I usually gear myself to the right lane because I had to usually get off at the Cross Island. But because of all the traffic, I was unable to do with it. So I had to go on that new made lane, on the third lane. Three quarters through the bridge, the boulder stopped. And I was just about to try to get across to the right lane to get off to get the exit for the Cross Island. I thought I had enough room. Obviously, I did not. And this 18-wheeler truck hit me. Oh, it was unbelievably, I mean, it is a miracle that I'm listening, talking to you right now. And thank God nobody was in my car because thank God there was no passenger. Anyway, I had to stop. The entire bridge stopped. You can imagine the honking and everything. And I was in shock, but I smelled smoke in my car. And even though I was in shock, something told me I had to get out. As I was opening my door to get out, and there was this man there. He just appeared out of nowhere. And I'm sure he was sent to me. And I was, as I said, I was in shock, and he did everything for me. He called the police. He handled everything. And he just appeared, a complete stranger, absolutely appeared from nowhere, and was there when I opened my door on the bridge. And he called the police. The police took me off, put me in their car for the bridge. By the way, I know there are very bad policemen and they're very bad teachers and they're very bad doctors and dentists, etc. But I will tell you, these police were so wonderful to me and so kind and so caring and solicitous. I cannot tell you. I also learned something that the policemen on the bridges are not the regular police. They're from the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority, which I never knew. But at any rate, they were wonderful. And I was taken off the bridge in the policeman's car. I never knew at that time how my car got off the bridge. But it turned out that this man, his first name was Ravindra, and he, every 45 minutes, he has a little cab that's like the front of the tow truck, and he goes and checks the bridge. And he just came on within 5 minutes of me having my accident, and he saw the whole thing. So he was right there, and he attached my car into that cab and took it off the bridge. Anyway, he was so wonderful, and the policeman was so wonderful. I called the police department, and I spoke to the captain, and I gave them all a commendation. And the captain told me, he said, you know, Mrs. Zarrett, he said, everybody only calls to criticize. Nobody ever calls to say nice things. So I just want to say to your beautiful and wonderful public who love you, when somebody does something nice for you, especially when you don't know them, it means so much, much more than money, to give them, to call their, their boss, their administrator, whoever, supervisor, and give them a compliment, because it means so much to these people. But there are such good people in this world, a lot more than the bad people. I just wanted to let you know that maybe you can open up to your audience to give people credit. I think this world needs positive influences, positive examples of how good most decent people are. There mm-hmm. are some bad apples, but I think most of us try to do the right thing, and not perfect, but I think if children see that positive things, I think it would be a hell of a lot better world. That's all I wanted to say.
And Cookie, so this man that appeared, was he the man that ended up driving the tow truck and just happened
yes.
to see the accident?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he disappeared, and I didn't see him. And the
wow.
policeman got me his name, because he apparently, and then I realized and learned that he worked for the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority. So I of course, gave him accommodation and everything, and I called him up. I mean, actually, he called me. I left a message for him to call me, and I wanted to thank him personally. And I just wanted to, I am sure there are so many people in your beautiful audience that listen to you every day who've had experiences with good, decent people. And I just wish more people were aware of it, and maybe we could, it would be a positive influence to our society.
Thank you, Aunt Cookie. Well, that's why we're doing it today, and I'm so happy we're launching it with this story. And thank God that you were okay, because I can't imagine being sideswiped on a bridge and how freaking scary that is. And I know exactly what you're talking about with those concrete blocks. It's extremely confusing, extremely, and probably didn't have the right signage or anything else. An 18-wheeler. Oh, my God. Thank God you're okay.
Well, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to your show, and I know all your listeners are too, Lisa. You're one special human being.
All right. Mwah. I love you. Thank you for calling in. So I have a story that I want to share in this Kindness of Strangers segment that we're doing, 203-333-9422. One of my reflections as a probate judge is that it is the most human of places. I frequently call it family court without divorce. And most people think about probate judge and, you know, will contests and all of that. And there is that for sure, where people are greedy and fighting and petty. Or they just feel that other people have been, you know, terribly taken advantage of. And I see those stories, unfortunately, all too commonly. But the other thing that I get to see, I really get to see the most extraordinary kindnesses of people. So let me tell you a story without mentioning any names. This week, so one of the things that I do as a probate judge, that all probate judges do in Connecticut, is we appoint the people that are the plenary guardians for people with intellectual disabilities. And in my court, if I haven't met the person, I will have a hearing just to meet the people in person, because that's important to me. I want them to have a face of a judge, And I want to have a recollection of who these people are. Many of these people have been appointed well before I became judge. Well, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago sometimes. But there are three-year periodic reviews that are required in Connecticut. And if I come across a file and I don't remember who the people are, I ask them to come in for a hearing so we can get to know each other and they can know that the function of a probate court is there not only for oversight but for help. So this week I had a hearing with people that I hadn't met before, and I met an individual who is now 61 years old. I think he's around 60, 61 years old. And he was born with an intellectual disability, and over time the medicines that he has had to take for various ailments have compromised his bones. So he is in a wheelchair, and he has had various breaks and, you know, orthopedic issues, and he is severely, you know, intellectually disabled, an IQ of maybe in the 40s. But the person who is his guardian is not related to him at all. And here was the story. The story was that this person who's now 60, his parents passed away in the natural course of life. But he had a brother who was a gifted, brilliant, talented young man who would have been, if all things had gone right in life, his plenary guardian. Only this brother had become a pilot for the military and was killed in action defending our country many years ago. And so between the brother, who should have been old enough to help and would have been, who had passed prematurely, unexpectedly serving this country, and the parents who passed in the ordinary course of time as elderly people, there was nobody to care for this boy who now had become a man with a severe intellectual disability. And let me tell you about this. The person who showed up in his life wasn't quite a stranger, right? But we can expand the definition of strangers. This is a person who grew up with him as his next door neighbor and remembers how when he was young, this boy was able to ride a bicycle and participate somewhat in the goings-on of growing up in the community. And so this next-door neighbor and his brother, whose parents were next-door neighbors to this family and felt close to them, these two men together manage so beautifully the care with such love and concern and caring of this boy that grew up as their next door neighbor. And to me, that's the kindness of strangers. They don't get paid for this. There's no money. But there's love. And there's caring. And there is an extension of oneself. And it was really a privilege for me to meet the guardians of this young man, who's now not young anymore. He's 60 years old. He's a man. Getting an older man. And it was a privilege for me to see. And that's why I say, you know, that I see the best of humanity, sometimes the worst, but very often the best, the unheralded acts of kindness that go on in our lives every single day. Because this family did not have to do what they're doing, but they make sure they moved this man to a private apartment. They made sure that he has a roommate with whom he gets along. At one point, he had a girlfriend for a number of years with whom he was very close with. They make sure that he has oversight and caring and that DDS is involved. And in other words, there's a human being out there. So I wanted to share that story. And I would love it if you would be part of this and share a feel-good story of somebody good in your life who stepped up or that you observed as the kindest of strangers. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back with the regular news coming right up at 203-333-9422.
It is saying about Lisa Wexler.
I just love the moderation of the way you handle the calls.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Inside, we all need the same thing.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show as we debut our Kindness of Strangers segment on this Friday. Let's go to Marcia from Stratford. Hi, Marcia. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having this segment. I was thrilled to hear it. I heard it at the end. You were doing it at the end of Melissa's show. And I especially tuned in, although I was going to do something else. There's so much bad news. I love this. So thank you.
Oh, you do? I'm so glad.
Yes.
Good. Do you have a story? Do you have a story you want to share with us? Oh,
sure,
wonderful.
I do. I also want to say thank you for opening with your Aunt Cookie's story, because that was amazing. We can all relate to that. Unbelievable. I can't imagine. And the story you just told, beautiful. So I will share a story, but I'll say, even if you don't hear people, if it takes a while for people to call in, please keep it up and keep sharing stories, because it will get people to call.
Okay.
I have two I can share. You're welcome. One is a small one. I was in the dollar store recently, and a long line, and I heard a woman behind me with a child, you know, full cart, the whole thing. And I heard her say, "Oh my God, I think I forgot the card." So I was just listening in, and so at one point I said, "Did you forget your wallet or something?" And she said, "No, it's a gift card. I'm fine. It's just $3. I'm okay." So I got to the register. I'm buying my things, and you know how when you're in line at the grocery or any store, you can see what the person has on the counter there in front of you.
Sure.
And this happens to me all the time. She said, "Oh, envelopes. Oh, I came in here to buy envelopes and I forgot." Right?
Right.
Right. Now, there's a long line. It's a big store. So I said to her, "Here, you take the envelopes." No. I said, "Look, I'll buy the envelopes another day. Really, you take the envelope." And she also saw something else. And I said, "Look, there's another one. I'll go get it while you're buying the whatever." It was the smallest, tiniest thing. And I'll spare you, because I know you're short on time, but we then were all talking while all these transactions were going on. And she said, "Being kind is like the most important thing." I said, "Oh my God, look, there's a whole long line behind us. I hadn't even realized." And she said, "Patience is a virtue." And then the woman behind her is someone with whom I had been chatting in the store. Oh my gosh, a whole nother story. It just that speaks to, if you just start speaking to strangers, you can come up with amazing stories. In the end, we were crying together, standing in the aisle of the store. But she had said to me, my father said to me once, "Being nice is nice." And so at the register with this transaction, with the envelope and the whole thing and the patience is a virtue, I looked over and there she was in line. And I said, "Well, like you said, being nice is nice." And I will say, one person being nice, one act of kindness in public will affect everyone around you.
That's a good point, Marcia. You happen to be right. Yeah, it's catching. It's totally catching.
Oh.
Like irritability, the converse is catching. Yeah. So is being nice. It is.
Yes.
You set a tone and you put a smile on your face. I'm always, you know, you just start with a smile. Totally.
And smiles are totally contagious.
Totally.
And Lisa, I heard someone say this and I've got it on my wall in the bathroom. Your smile increases your face value.
Yeah, that's a great line.
So I'll save my other story for another time. I'll call back, and I hope other people will call in, because this just warms your heart. I love that you're doing this, and bless your aunt. Bless your aunt, and bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Marcy. I'm so glad that I'm so grateful on so many levels that my aunt was able to tell that story. We have a listener who wrote, "Aunt Cookie is absolutely right. We need more people calling to say thank you. I had a customer for years who always had some kind of issue. Anyway, upper management gave me full power to keep them from needling to come up to customer service. This customer moved to Florida, but before moving wrote the nicest letter to corporate. Unfortunately, most customers only complain." And that is the key, right? I mean, and I think what my aunt said is right, which is that it means a lot more than money for people. So if somebody does something particularly kind for you. Sure, you know, maybe their job, maybe they're quote unquote getting paid for it. But there's a difference between doing your job with a smile and an extra bit of effort and just doing your job. And we all know it when we see it. And so when people do put forth that special effort and they do go out of their way to be kind, I think that they deserve a pat on the back. I have a folder in my probate court. It's my feel-good folder ever since I became judge, because from time to time people write personal letters, and they write them to me or about me, and they write them to my staff or about my staff. And every now and then when I'm having a bad day, I reach into that folder and read some of these beautiful letters, because they remind me of why I love my job and I want to do my job. And they remind me that there are people in the world that do appreciate when you go out of your way. So it is really nice to be writing that extra letter. All right, we are going to come back with the next, right after the top of the news and weather and traffic and all that. And it is really hot today, so be careful. Watch your dogs and watch yourselves. And in the next hour, we're going to speak to somebody who has committed a tremendous amount of volunteer time to heading up the Merritt Parkway Conservancy, which is a very important, influential, prestigious organization that has a mission to preserve the vistas of the historic landmarked Merritt Parkway. Now, you and I may curse it. We may not think of it as a historic landmark space because it's always got so much traffic on it. But the truth is that it is quite beautiful. And if you take time to look at the way the bridges were constructed, you will see an Art Deco kind of artistry that meant that when people did public works almost 100 years ago, they took great pride in the beauty and longevity of what they were creating. And there has been a tremendous amount of recently pressure on the vistas of the Merritt Parkway, coming from real estate developers who are using the cudgel of the 830G statute to build edifices that really don't belong within eyeshot of the Merritt Parkway. So we're going to hear from Wes Haynes in the next hour. And we'll also begin the top of the hour show with a lot of news you may have missed that sort of crept under and around us over the past week. As always, your opinions, your thoughts are welcomed here on the Lisa Wexler Show at 203-333-9422. Stay tuned for the next hour. We'll be right back.